Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hello, hello, fellow podcasters. Welcome back to this wonderful series on hypertensive or antihypertension medications. And today we'll be looking at the angiotensin II receptor blockers, which we also call ARBs, okay? So to begin with, this is going to be an easy one, especially if you have listened to the previous episode on ACE inhibitors. However, for those of you that didn't and are wondering what is angiotensin II, here we go. Angiotensin is a hormone that carries two messages. Remember, a hormone is a message carrier. It takes one message from one part of the body to another part of the body. So that's what angiotensin does. And the message, it carries two messages. The first message being that we need to narrow the blood vessels, all this so that we can increase the blood pressure. So sends a message to the blood vessels and says, hey, you need to narrow up how you need to narrow up so that we can increase blood pressure. The second message it takes is to the adrenal glands. And remember, those are the organs that sit on top of your kidneys. And they tell the adrenal glands that you need to release a hormone called aldosterone. When aldosterone gets released, it knows its job is to reabsorb sodium. And when sodium gets reabsorbed, water follows. Always remember that. Where salt goes or sodium goes, water follows. So that's angiotensin, the hormone, and it's carrying two messages. And all these messages it's carrying, it's with an effort to increase the blood pressure, right? So it's telling us, it's telling the blood vessels to narrow, and it's also releasing aldosterone so that we can increase the water and sodium can be retained in the body. And with this retention, then the blood pressure will go up. So I'm sure then now that you know why, what angiotensin is doing, you're now probably wondering, how do we come across it? What is it? Well, on a normal working day in your body, the liver makes this protein called angiotensinogen. I know they're all the same, right? But this one ends with gen, okay? Then here comes renin. And renin is another actor that's coming from the kidneys. And renin comes, meets angiotensinogen, and cleaves it. Once it cleaves it, it now becomes angiotensin, right? Angiotensin 1. We're not done yet. This angiotensin 1 gets transformed to become angiotensin 2 by the enzyme called angiotensin converting enzyme. So now we have angiotensin 2, which has the leading role in this class, all right? So I hope we're clear so far. We've started with why this angiotensin is important, what it is that it does in our bodies, and then we've come to how did it come about? Angiotensinogen cleaved by renin and becomes angiotensin 1. Angiotensin 1 gets transformed angiotensin 2 by the angiotensin converting enzyme. All right, so on the same normal working day, your body now has angiotensin 2. It needs to bind to the receptors so that it can cause those things that we're talking about at the beginning of our chat to increase the blood pressure. So for that narrowing of blood vessels to happen, for that aldosterone to be released, angiotensin 2 needs to bind to the receptors. Got it? Therefore, this class of angiotensin II receptor blockers. They block the receptors so that angiotensin II has no access to the receptor, right? And ergo, no signals to narrow blood vessels, and no signal for the aldosterone to be released. Therefore, we don't retain any salt, we don't retain any water, and your blood pressure does not increase. As you can see, this is very similar to what we were talking about with ACE inhibitors, right? So usually you'll find that the ACE inhibitors and the ARBs are referred to as the RAS system blockade. And RAS is renin, angiotensin, aldosterone system. So these two groups of classes, they block the whole system, and they block the whole system in an effort to decrease blood pressure. It's just that they do it at different points. The ACE inhibitors, they block the conversion of angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2, while the ARBs block the receptors, therefore there's no binding and no action, all right? So who are some of this angiotensin 2 receptor blockers? We have azilsartan, candesartan, eprosartan, ibrosartan, losartan, olmesartan, telmisartan, and valsartan. As you can see, this beautiful scientist was so kind to us. They made sure that everything ended in the same thing. In this case, sartan, and that's who the ARBs are. And of course, you're wondering what the side effects are. Well, ARBs are generally well tolerated. They have a low incidence of side effects. In fact, when I see a patient's profile and they have an ARB, I never think, oh no, there's going to be, you know, just like what, how we feel when we see warfarin. For me, when I see warfarin, I always think, oh boy, drug interactions galore. But not so much with the ARBs, right? So they're good alternative. Okay, to begin with, I'll say that they're good alternatives to an ACE inhibitor. Now, who is this that I'd be giving an ARB if they're already on an ACE inhibitor? Especially because, like we said, they're both blocking the same system, the RAS. Well, remember with ACE inhibitors, sometimes patients can describe a dry cough that's never going away, or angioedema. Well, those are the patients that I would switch to an ARB, because an ARB will not cause those, all right? The other side effects to watch out for with an ARB is hypotension. So I hope you're hearing me say, watch your patient when you start them on this drug, so that if you need to titrate to make sure that they just don't wake up one morning, it was 140 over 100, and now they're at 80 over 90, that's a big drop, right? Okay, so you check that for hypertension. And of course, sometimes what the patients will tell you is dizziness, you know, or when I wake up or when I stand up, I feel dizzy, right? So hypertension is something to look out for. Another one to look out for is acute renal failure or renal impairment. And then the other one is hyperkalemia. And so if a patient, so the three things that I would say to monitor for when you start a patient on ARBs are hypotension, renal impairment, and hyperkalemia, meaning a lot of potassium, okay? Now, for those patients that are on more than one drug for their hypertension, let's be vigilant on dosing, because ARBs tend to potentiate other antihypertensive drugs, meaning they tend to make the other drugs work better, right? So in that case, you may need to readjust the dose either of the ARBs or of the other antihypertensive drugs that they may be on, okay? Now, when it comes to contraindication, it's contraindicated in pregnancy. In fact, it's a black box warning. And what does a black box warning mean, you say, or you ask? It is the highest safety-related warning given to a medication. So if a patient is pregnant, ARBs are a no-no. And I hope that also what you're hearing there is that a good piece of education to give, especially to women of childbearing age, is that yes, you've been put on an ARB, but be careful should you get pregnant or are trying to get pregnant. This is something to get off of. Why? It can cause harm or even kill the fetus. So there they are, the angiotensin II receptor blockers. Remember, we are blocking the receptor. Therefore, the angiotensin II has no way to get to the receptor. And if that is blocked, then that means there's no narrowing of the blood vessels and there is no aldosterone, therefore no water and salt retention, and the blood pressure goes down. What do you want to make sure you monitor on these drugs? Hypertension, renal impairment, and hyperkalemia. All right, so there we go, another class down, and I'm sure you are itching and looking forward to the next one. All right, till next time, have a good one. I am Dr. Wambui, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.